podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So proper seeing their ass with being voted. I think it was Crap Towns.
I remember that, Crap Towns.
The crappiest town in England.
I mean, it's kind of like a badge of honour, isn't it? Yeah. You're going to do something, do it properly. You're going to be crap.
Hull has got two rugby league teams and one football team.
How can you have two rugby league teams and one football team?
I don't mean it's not Hull, it's Hull.
Have you ever seen To Hull and Back?
No.
On the Fields and Arses?
No.
It's brilliant, right? There's one where in that To Hull and Back, Del Boy is at the market and he's selling these watches. And he goes, these watches, they're £10, there's a crowd around him, £10 each or £15 to the black man. And the black guy goes, why can't I have it for £10? He goes, you can. Rodney, take the man's money. I was like, oh my God.
Good marketing.
Good marketing. Good strategy.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
What are you looking at that out for?
Because this brew wouldn't vote Conservative.
Not white enough, Stephen. Talking of Conservatives, you've been making some Conservative friends, haven't you, this week?
She's a cunt, Jay.
You've got to narrow it down. When you talk about Tories, because it could be Theresa Coffey.
Because she's the fucking Uber cunt.
Theresa Coffey. Esther McVeigh. Priti Patel. Got there in the end. Yeah. Fair enough. I mean...
There was a guy seeing his arse. He's like, can't call women cunts. Said, well, I've stopped short of calling her a Nazi, mate.
It's equality.
Jay, I am an equal rights Twitterer.
You are. I've always known. You are with your quote tweets. I always like that. I've seen you quote tweeting bots. People with one follower. Everyone they get gets. As much attention as Everyone the Blue gets. Tip Brigade. Some people in the comments.
All right.
You all right? Sean Patrick McDade said, my town was voted worst place to live at one point.
Where'd you live?
Yeah, let us know where you live. Right. I don't want to cast aspersions on your town. I won't say it's crap, because I want to walk out of here alive, and B, I want to walk through the streets of Manchester alive. Perhaps the most dangerous town would be quite a fitting moniker. Can I be allowed to say that?
Like, top in it.
Per square meter, the amount of killings, I think it's got to be up there with any town in Britain.
Listen, I think if not the world. Getting a bad rep on it. Realistically, this is a Tameside problem.
Right. So it's harsh to focus on Droylsden. Right.
Tameside, then you're
ignoring
Hyde. You get Hyde, you get Moxham, Ashton, so you're getting. You get your Shipman. You get your Myra Hindleys.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
You've got. Yeah, it's not just Droylsden, is it?
No,
it's the surrounding 3 mile radius as well.
And let's be honest, Dale Cregan did half of his killings in Clayton.
He did. That's often overlooked. So it's a bit harsh to go. It was all Droylsden because it wasn't. Some of it was Clayton, as I remember knocking. Well, I didn't knock on those doors. I got out of my news car, saw the gangs on the street.
Got ER to
death.
Went
back in my car. Yeah.
For those who aren't around Manchester,
and drove away.
Right, the sketchier the area, the more you are likely to see obese ladies in pink fluffy slippers going, just fucking leave, right? Just leave.
I remember, right?
I'd rather have a German SS trooper cock a rifle at me than a fucking Manchester bird in pink fluffy slippers and shit hair go,
What are you saying, you?
Oh, we're in trouble here.
What are you saying about Amalke? Nothing. Forget it. Don't worry about it. I remember I got out of the news car.
Get it! Get the shotgun!
I got out of the news car and I think it was Claire Fallon who used to do ITV News was there and I saw her and she's done a lot of reporting. Hardened reporter. She was in tears. And she said, they're not very nice to reporters around here. And I went, I'm going to get in my car. And this is how rough it was, Steve. I got in my car and drove to Droylsden to do some knocking on doors there because that was the better option. Manchester Maverick says, and leopard print leggings.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what you want. You got to have rollers in your hair, fang in your mouth, leopard print leggings, pink fluffy
pajamas
slippers.
On at 5 p.m.
Pajamas on, usually a toddler under your arm as well or within hitting range. And a half attempt at fake time. You've done it for a bit and then thought, sat that.
And why is there a freezer at the edge of the street?
That's a
good
point.
Don't ask a stupid fucking question.
There's a freezer in the street, and if I don't see at least three mattresses in gardens, something's gone wrong. That's practically middle class, where I come from. Yeah. If you haven't got a mattress in your garden, you're a posh spot. That's how we look at it round our way.
Does your post office have bulletproof glass?
Do you know what I'll never forget, right?
Since the fucking 90s.
The most maddest news story I've ever done, and the most maddest reaction, and this is when you know, right, you live in the ends, right? There was a shooting in Little Alton, and the bullet went through this window, right? In completely innocent family, stray bullet through the window, right? So I went and knocked on the door, because, you know, I was like, the angel of death, and there's been a shooting in St. J around there. He'll speak to the locals, because he's on their level, right? So knocked on the door, I turned from Q103 Radio, shooting, I could see the bullet hole and everything. It was like, I think it was through the fence, and it, like, the window was all boarded up. Yeah, come in. So I'm asking her, and she went, oh, you know, I've got my kids here, I was worried sick. So I remember I said to her, like, you know, are you worried? What are you going to do? And she said, well, what I've told them is the shootings was down that side. So when they come out of the house, they just turn to the right and play up there.
Very sensible.
And I thought, well, that's solved that problem, hasn't it? From stray bullets. Just walk the other way. Do you know what I mean? She couldn't have been less arsed about bullets flying through a window if she tried.
There was a lad who used to live on my street. I think he's somewhere at Her Majesty's Pleasure at the minute. He tried to rob the post office at the bottom of our street.
Do you know what?
What would you get for robbing a post office now?
18 quid.
You'd have to give them money.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I love the fact.
Sawn off shotgun. Oi,
he looks at it and he thought.
Got 4 quid.
Yeah.
Do you want to go for jail? 4 quid. When the police, something like they managed to lock the door with him in there. And obviously it's bulletproof glass because it's Drawsden. So the police came and nicked him and they just handcuffed him to the railings outside it. Just fucking kind of like got on with shit, like, you're interviewing people and stuff like that. My Nana's gone round, she's like, are you all right, love? He's like, I've just been arrested. What have you been arrested for? Try to hold it up. Oh, did you? All right, have a nice day. See you in a bit.
Tell your mum, does she know? Yeah, I've shouted to her. It's all right, she can hear me. She's bringing me some buses. It's all right.
No one got hurt, did they?
No. Oh, do you know what? I love that. Did she say that old one to him? They'll nick you for anything these days.
Do you have a shooter?
You should be out catching real criminals, not him, holding up the post office.
Shouldn't have done it with a shooter.
Yeah. You've crossed the line now, so. I love the fact he couldn't be bothered walking further to the next post office. Do you know what I mean? He thought, I may as well just do this one now, but I'm in my street.
I had a shotgun pulled on me while I was in the army, actually, in Drawsden.
When you was in the army, right, and you went on home leave, did you look forward to going back to Afghanistan for a bit of a breather? Were you like, get me back to Iraq? It's a bit rough around here.
2009. It was just before I left, I think.
Yeah.
Just driving across five ways, and there'd been a cash for gold. That's another fucking top indicator you're in a fucking primo area as well. They got a fucking cash for gold jewellers.
Oh, shout, yes.
Well, anyway, that got done in.
Right.
Drawsden Precinct. It's not there no more. I don't even know if the precinct is there anymore. Anyway, that got done in. And as he was getting away, they cut me up. So I fucking got on the horn as normal. Yeah. And the guys just pulled the shotgun at me. I'm like, all right, yeah, you're in, all right.
Okay.
As you fucking were.
Mate, that's taking road rage to another level when you're willing to just execute people over them beeping their horn at
you. I think it was more that they were getting away.
Yeah.
And I was just going about my fucking business.
You forgot to remember where you were. There's loads of people here commenting on the different things. Long sight lad, trainers hanging off telephone lines. I always think that's quite American.
I don't get that.
I did see it in Old Trafford, wasn't there? Do you remember on down near the Gorse Hill?
At the bottom of my street for ages, but yeah. I don't know what's it all about.
Yeah, it feels American to me, that. Yeah.
Manchester, it's more a burnt out car. Yeah. From a bit of a good old twocking.
Yeah, twocking, you're like me, you're old school. It was twocking, wasn't it, when we were kids? Like, you know what I mean? I remember, like, when we used to go to Lim, we used to walk to Lim, and now and again, I get
away. Someone's going
to
have done a good robbery. Like, not a shit robbery.
Yeah.
You need a getaway vehicle, right? Which means you need another getaway vehicle, because that's basics, isn't it, Jay?
Yes, it is.
So you steal one, you do your robbery, you fucking fly into somewhere with no CCTV, you set fire to that, you're getting your next one, you're off back down to Ashton.
This is a question, but do you know what twocking stands for?
Is it taken without owner's consent?
Never in doubt. Pete Kelly says, coming over for the game tomorrow, second time this season, different manager in the home dugout this time, but the same away manager, what's the chances? Yeah, that's quite rare. Mighty Moose says, I've got tickets to Old Trafford hospitality event. Any good? Have you ever done that? Corporate Dave, innit?
Yeah. I did it a little bit. My old firm that I used to work for on a scaffolding, they used to have a corporate Dave. You have to take clients.
Oh, right,
be like, Benny, come to the game.
Did you? Did you? This is my client. He's on his 12th pint. Did you have a legend?
Yeah.
Who was your legend? Can you remember?
The best one ever was Alex Stepney, for obvious reasons.
Do you know, in Alex Stepney, a proper gen?
Mint.
Do you know what? I almost gave up on YouTube completely when we saw the Devils did a video with him that did like 8K.
It was me, wasn't it?
Was it you? Yeah. It was like the best video I've ever seen. One of the best videos ever. Talking about 68 final, Munich, everything, like being part of the rebuild after Munich and signing for Busby. One of the best videos ever. And
pretty sure Stepney did. We had Stepney, I think it was the 10th anniversary of George Best passing. So that would have been what, 2015, I guess?
Yeah, that's spot on that. I think it was 2005.
So he did a talk about George Best. You know what them rooms are like? 200-300 people in there. Everyone's fucking minging because it's free beer and everyone's like trying to hammer their company credit card as much as possible. Yeah. I've never known one of those places fall silent. Except it's pretty softly spoken for a goalkeeper, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Alex was kind of like, he wasn't George Best to me, he was my mate George. And it just spoke from the heart about his mate George and his trouble with alcoholism and what he was like as a lad and how he helped him when he moved here and all those sort of like real, honest sort of things about, he's just memories about George. He could have been sitting talking to one person.
I love that.
But it was 300 people in the room and they were fucking silent.
Yeah.
And it was mega. And he got like a standing ovation, like he just scored a winner. But when he finished.
Isn't it mad like?
Mega.
I mean, it's almost, I always think like people like Alex Stepney are just completely underrated. Do you know, like their achievements and everything, like winning leagues, winning European Cups, being part of that, just being a mint keeper for like 20 years at the top level. Like, if you that now, you never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
And people just like, you know, when you're having these conversations, people almost forget about Stepney. I don't mean United fans, I mean non-United fans.
Yeah.
When you're talking about some of the greatest
keepers.
Because
they look at the England thing, but England had a lot of good goalkeepers at the time. I think he had one England cap.
I think you're right. Because they had Gordon Banks just basically was between the sticks for England for about 20 years, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he was arguably the best goalkeeper on the planet during that time.
Yeah, so. Ray Clements as well.
Yeah.
And then Shilton. And they sort of all overlapped. Yeah, and Stepney kind of rode a couple of those.
It was unlucky, really, wasn't it? Because in 70, when Banks got that injury or got the food poisoning, they went with Peter Benetti, who had a bit of a stinker, didn't he, against Germany?
Yeah, I think Peter Benetti and Stepney were the two that were likely to. Didn't Stepney get his England call up like that year?
Because I think it was either Benetti or Stepney who would have stepped in, and he went with Benetti because he was a bit more showman-y. Obviously, nicknamed the Cat, very good goalkeeper. I'm not saying he wasn't. But you know, Stepney, and he is a gen. I've done a couple of events where he's been there, and he's one of those. He'll come over and chat to you.
Like, he's like
gives a toss, and I love that.
Like, I've still got my granddad. Obviously, we had another channel on that from my dad's side. I never met my granddad from my mum's side, but I would honestly think of Stepney as like that sort of figure.
Yeah.
Like whenever you see him, like he's got a cuddle for you. He's warm. You know, he's got stories for days. Yeah. Tell us another story, granddad.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh. Right, me and George Best and Dennis Law used to go to Liverpool and we used to be like, wear caps so no one saw us. And you're like, yeah, can't even see it's you now. It's not George Best, is it? Fucking hell. And like Paddy Crerin. I think he's got a great story about going, they went to Anfield, George Best noticed something Liverpool do when they're playing out or when how high their line goes. Pulls them all in at training and he goes, I want to practice this. And he's right. George Best goes, when I go through one-on-one with you, you want to show me to the outside? He's like, walk me through it. So they walk through it and he's like, okay, your lead leg, what are you aiming to do with that? I can't remember what he said. But in a nutshell, George Best goes, okay, cool. They played a drill. George Best plays a 1-2 off Stepney in training, off his lead leg. So he shoots it at him and then puts the rebound in. And he goes, all right, cool. The next day, I think it was at Anfield, it plays that exact same thing. So it's a Paddy Crerin ball over the top, round and
obviously
back for George Best. Paddy Crerin was a baller.
He was on it.
People don't know. He was the old saying. Scholesy.
If Paddy plays well, United play well.
Yeah. Ranger passing sort of baller. George Best goes, like, because we don't hear off these legends speaking enough about the intricacy. All we hear is, yeah, we played off the cuff. It was all vibes. And then we got on the piss. Yeah. That's it, innit? But you don't realise, like, they couldn't watch football on the telly. They'd have to go to the match and then see something at the game and then try it in training. George Best has seen this fucking playing a 1-2 off the keeper's standing leg to be able to go and score.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love the fact that George Best would take people on and then let them catch up and take them on again. Like, that's ridiculous. Imagine watching that now. And this was top level football. This was in the top flight and in Europe. He'd do things like that. If you saw that now in the Premier League, you'd never hear the end of it. That's I've never seen that in the Premier League, ever. Imagine just skinning someone and going, come on, son, have another go. And doing it again. It's just like...
While they're trying to assault him as
well. Yeah, like some of the tackles back in the day, aren't they? It annoys me when people go, oh, footballers in them days wouldn't have survived. They were playing on like just mud and riding challenges that were two-footed. Do you know what I mean? It's a shame as well because most of those games, the vast majority of them aren't televised. So you haven't got the footage. You've got footage of like...
The occasional match of the day highlights that have survived and
like,
stuff.
There's so like, you know, best score, what was it? 40 odd goals in a season once, whatever it was. And you know, most of those you're not going to see. You're never going to see. And it's just, it is sad. Mr. Hoss says, lads, will we ever get a live show from you guys? We'll love a brew live to go watch. Almost like what Sky are doing now. If so, bring it to Ireland. We spoke about this, haven't we, Steve?
Right. I'll be very real with you guys. I went and watched Two Pints of Lager live on Friday. Me and Baggers went.
How was it?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, this was a TV show that ran for, I think it ran for about 8 years, yeah. Two Pints of Lager. So you got fans of the show. And you got two well-known actors there.
Yeah.
We're just a bunch of dickheads who got to the match.
Yeah.
So our subject matter that you're coming for is United related.
Yeah.
So I don't think we could do a live show, in my opinion, without a legend.
Okay.
Also, there was... I don't want to ruin their show and tell you what it's all about, but they did a lot of stuff. They referenced what they did on their podcast quite a bit. I mean, that's some fucking sensational guests. But they did a lot of like pub quizzy type stuff, audience participation kind of stuff. Me and Baggers was talking about, you know, we've spoke about doing live shows in the past and how we would do them and stuff like that. And we were speaking all the way through theirs about, you know, could this work for us? Could that work for us? And that's the top and bottom of it is, there's a lot of moving parts that you have to make. You can't just come and do a podcast.
No.
You need a structure.
Yeah.
You know, if you, it's got to be a show. And none of us are show people. We're not show biz anyway. No. Joe might be a little bit, but like none of us are show biz.
No.
We just fucking say what we see. No. So there was a few things that they did where there was clearly lines being read. Yeah. And it was setups.
Right, okay.
And I don't know if we could
I'm with you about the... I would like to have a legend as well. And when I say a legend, and I'm not disparaging what other people do, I mean a bona fide Manchester United legend. Yeah.
Keane.
Yeah. Like
Gary Neville.
Yeah. Chockey.
Cantona.
Someone who's won the lot, who's at the club for years, who's got a lot of stories. I'd like to do that because I would love to go meet people. And we get messages all the time. Me and Steve been on channels and different, you know, Instagram lives and all that with supporters groups from all around the world.
I also do not. I do not have any fucking delusion whatsoever that I'm going to fucking pack out a show anywhere. You're not coming for me. You might come for these people on that poster behind you over there.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're not coming. I don't mind hosting it. I'd love to be there.
Yeah, I'd love to be there and part of it. And I've done it in Norway. We did it with Chockey, did it with Bojan, did it with Andy Mitten. I know he's a journalist like us, but obviously a lot of people know who he is. Done it with Lee Sharp as well.
See, Andy's done live shows. Yeah. I'd love to know how they went.
Done one with Norman Whiteside. It wasn't abroad. It was in Macclesfield, but it was a great show. And it is, but you need, like, if you'd have turned on my side out loud and just left me there, or no disrespect, but replaced him with you, it was not the same two United fans.
No disrespect
about, talking about going to the game. When you've got someone talking about scoring in the FA Cup final,
that's
or
what it's for.
Being the youngest player ever to play in a World Cup, breaking Pelé's record, and then a week... Yeah, exactly. And then half an hour later, being the youngest player to be booked in a World Cup. That's a story, and that's what fans want to hear. So I'm with you, and we would like to go out and meet fans. Me and Steve spoke about it.
Maybe that's the evolution of the Sportsman's Dinner with the podcast sort of... that's what I see. Sportsman's Dinners are a way to do it, but they can be pricey because you know, you're doing them in hotel venues that do weddings and shit. They're charging you £30-40 a head for stuff like that. So the tickets have to be really dear. But if you do it in like a comedy club, you just get a legend on and you make it a live podcast with a legend, I can get behind something like that.
I can. And... You know, that is a good point you make as well, because you have that balance, because obviously legends, the time is precious and they get a lot of...
They're spending, let's be honest, a lot of them that make their living doing this.
Yeah, so you're not going to get them cheap, which means you have to pay people to come, and it's like getting that balance, because I want to give people value for money, I don't want to make...
I've done two Sportsman's Dinners. Yeah. When I used to have the blog with MUFC Latest, we did two Sportsman's Dinners, we did Sharpie and Pallister,
yeah,
and that was good.
Sharpie's good, isn't he? I've never done Pallister. I've done Sharpie. He was really good.
But Pallister, it surprised me how good he was, actually, because you think he's a bit of a mummy's boy almost, don't you? And a bit quiet. No, not at all. It was a really good blend, those two, yeah. I did Whiteside and Robbo as well, which was sensational.
Honestly, I'd love to just... Brian Robson. I just
we were on the pistol about 4 a.m.
I don't. I will mean you, friends. Don't speak to me.
The fucking bar bill afterwards. We did not make any money on that fucking sportsman's dinner. Put it this way, I got it. You're like, ooh, fuck.
Yeah, you still owe that money now. I still paid it off now.
I can't imagine. Billy Jashton, stop ringing me.
I remember when my missus was sat with Norman Whiteside and his missus, and I don't drink. My missus was drinking, and after about half an hour, she's like, I can't keep up. Because they weren't even like drunk. They were just down in wine and she had to go a little water for a bit. People saying in the chat here, a couple of people say, Jed Loveday, Everett would be perfect for a live. Have you seen that new show he's doing? It's up your street, really, because it's crazy. It's crazy survival things that you're into. And he's in the Arctic or Norway or wherever, somewhere cold, jumping into ice water and all that, and abseiling down cliffs face first. And he's up for it. He's like, yeah, it's all these different celebrities. So it's people like Gabby Logan and Professor Green and all that.
You see, his boxing match got cancelled.
Who was it with?
I don't know, some fucking helmet.
Right.
I have no idea who it was.
I love Everett, but I'm not into these boxing.
When I saw it, I was like, okay.
Yeah. But do you know what? You're talking about people spending time. When we did his Q&A that he did with Andy Mern for his book, and we did the thing afterwards with him. And you queued, there's about 20 people queuing, and it took ages to get to him. And I realised why when we got to him. It was me, my missus, and my dad. He literally spent about 20 minutes chatting to us. And I thought, he's just spoke to like 20 people on the spin. You'd get fed up, bored, wouldn't you? Just because you're a human being. And he wasn't. He was like, he was so engaging, and I had his story, and I was telling him, I said, you give me the best 45 seconds of my life when I was in Munich, when he scored that goal. And he's like, like Manuel Neuer was, we thought he was celebrating with us, and he wasn't. He was getting the ball and running back to the halfway line. And it was like, and then he was chatting to my missus, she was a bit shy at first, but because she was a bit like, it's Evra. But he was just dead friendly. And
oh, mate, one of the best football conversation I've ever had was with Evra.
Because you went to his hotel and all that, didn't you?
For a bit I was working for him, and then he sucked a chicken off, booted a guy in the head, and then got rid of all his socials. I went, and it was when I was at Marseille.
Yeah.
So he flew us over to Marseille, put us up in a hotel, got me an apartment in Marseille. It sounds like a lie as I'm saying it, but it happened. I vlogged it.
I know you did. And what I loved about that is I didn't know about it until I saw it. So I was like, what is this? Why is Steve in a hotel with Evra? It was mint now.
But I filmed 1%. Of everything, because I didn't want to be that guy just filming everything. The journey back from the match to his hotel, it's like driving down Chester Road.
Yeah,
it was just fucking traffic. So it took us about 2.5 hours. So for 2.5 hours, you got his brother, who's like just a fat 6'4" version of Evra.
Yeah,
on one side, Evra in the middle, me on it. It's just fucking shoulders all in the back. Yeah. Of it's a 4x4, but it ain't that big.
No.
And I've just got a hot, just finished playing leg up against my leg. And for 2 hours, I'm going to ask him everything anyone's ever wanted to ask him. I asked him about Suarez, asked him about Moyes, asked him about Fergie, asked him about the history of the club that he went and learned. And he was like, because I said, didn't you do like museum trips and stuff like that? And he went, nah, better than that. I just like took Bobby Charlton out and bent his ear off. And he was just like, amazing.
You know what I mean? Amazing. Ridiculous. Sorry,
imagine
man.
Walking into Wings and seeing fucking like Paddy Everett and Bobby Charlton having lunch.
Just having a catch up.
And he's like making notes.
Yeah. So that's good that though, isn't it? Because
he threw himself into the club.
Yeah, no one does that really, do they? And to a certain degree, I don't.
What level of humility do you need to say, I'm going to learn about this club?
Yeah.
I can't see any. I could see Bruno doing something similar.
Yeah.
Knowing what he's been like with our age and the way he's kind of integrated and things like that.
That's a really good point.
But I couldn't really see any player.
Yeah.
Being like, talk to him about this football club.
No.
Why is it special?
He's one of those guys in the Evra. He's got a heart of gold as well. Sometimes when you see him playing bagpipes with one shoe on, eating a raw chicken or whatever, you think.
Well, I think he's fully mental. Like.
Yeah, he is. But even his Q&A, he came out singing Wonderwall. And the next minute, he's talking about some pretty hardcore stuff about what he went through as a kid. It was very serious.
He had 26 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And you think that was an easy childhood?
No. And
Look at my underpants.
What I mean? And all the things he's dealt with. And he's still got that, I know he's obviously got a good life now. He's an ex-United player. He's been at the top level of football for, best part of two decades. But he's still got that great attitude and that loving life. I love this game thing that he says. And he's just a great guy, man. It was really, really interesting because you know, you've done them a few times where you can read a book or you can get a Q&A and it's sort of what you expect. But when you get someone like that, it takes it to another level. Before we move on with some other things, loads of comments and we'll get to that. Apparently there's a press conference there. Cavani's injured. There you go. That's a revelation, isn't it? But yeah, we'll get to some stuff in a bit. First of all, though, here's a message from our sponsors.
Now more than ever, our internet reliance is rapidly increasing. We stream our favourite shows, keep in touch with loved ones, and watch podcasts like The Brew, all on the internet. And we'd like to think that our information is safe, but as our online footprint increases, our information needs to be properly secure, Jay. We need it.
We need that proper security. Yes. Surfshark is a VPN service that protects your information by encrypting all the data that you send out through the internet. Another great reason to use VPN is because it can enable you to use services that are sometimes restricted in other countries. So things like Netflix, Amazon Prime, all that sort of stuff. When using a VPN, that lets you access other channels that you might not be able to access from the country that you're in.
And with Surfshark, you can solve that problem by simply changing your location. So you can be on the beach on holiday and set it back to the UK and watch the Premier League games with your normal streaming services.
Currently, Surfshark has an amazing deal. By using the code PADDOCK, you can get 81% off. That's 81%, which just sounds too good to be
ridiculous.
True.
And you also get 3 months free. And with Surfshark, you also get a 30-day money-back guarantee. So use the link in the description and the code PADDOCK for 81% off, 3 months free, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Use Surfshark. You can't get better than that, Jay.
Couple of quid a month, you're laughing.
Ludicrous.
Thanks to Surfshark. We've got some comments here. Yeah, people saying about the everything. Everyone's saying they knew you were going to say shoulders. Is that a saying of yours?
What?
Shoulders. When you said about shoulders.
No, really? I don't know why.
It's just all shoulders. Like, yeah. Old Trafford's the same. I mean, I don't sit down, but if I did, there's too many shoulders. There's no fucking space between the seats. Like, yeah. It's not like fucking Wembley. Wembley's like this.
Yeah. Do you know what, right? Well, me and you spoke about this thing. You're about revamping it, aren't you, Old Trafford? Because I might just keep starting again. I know.
George Best played on that grass.
Yeah, no, he didn't.
It's the same grass.
You know it as well as I do.
Same grass.
It's not even the same grass that Ollie played on, let alone John Fest.
It's the same. You know what I mean?
There's a good chance Cristiano Ronaldo has never played on that grass because we've had a bit of a break. I understand what you mean and I get the sentiment behind it, but I just, whenever you go to a different stadium, a new stadium, you think, and I'm not, I mean, I stand in the bloody TRA where you like that anyway, so it's not going to make any difference to me, but you know, when you take the kids and that, you just think...
No, build your extra shit. Make that revamp it.
Yeah.
Let's make a better actual fucking high up platform so our disabled fans can see, rather than putting them in fucking bottom center in a white patch. Bit of a fucking reference for everybody there. If you don't know, you don't know. And letting them get in fucking balls to the face like they're on a porn set, right? Fucking, what are we doing? Our most vulnerable people, where do we stick them? Right in the firing line for balls and right underneath the away fans.
I suppose.
Who the fuck thought that was a good idea?
John and Alex, the other ones, I remember did a video with them when it was at Devils and it was like, literally, I think it was the PSG game, one of the PSG games.
You got flare throwing.
Yeah, flare throwing, spats on, dogs abuse. And it was like, they sent to the club and the club went, oh, yeah.
So our most vulnerable sections of support. What is Priti Patel the fucking CEO of Manchester United? Honestly.
God, give like, it time.
The most vulnerable fans need to be fucking treated a little bit fucking more humanely and not as an afterthought like they've clearly been in recent years at Old Trafford. Give them a nice viewing deck with good fucking disabled facilities, not the dog shit that they have to put up with now. Put your corporate facilities up there as well.
Yeah.
Let them see the fucking pitch and have the fucking prawn sandwiches because, let's be honest, it does fucking bring in a lot of money and every club is going to have corporate facilities. So put them in the fucking gods. Make K-Stand and a Stretford End an absolute cauldron of noise full of dickheads and cocaina, right? Yeah. Because that's where it needs to fucking be. Are we being grown up and real, AJ? Or are we not?
Hey, you're being honest.
I'm being honest.
Simon Doyle says, right, I want to ask you about this. Surely United have a contractual safeguard against players who never want to play like Cavani. It's absolutely ridiculous. Just on that, right, because you do coaching and stuff. Is it better to have a player who's mint, right, who's one of the best ever, right, but you're only getting for half maybe the games, or someone who's a 7 out of 10 but you're getting from nearly every game?
I reckon probably a 7 out of 10 knowing what you're getting.
Because that, look, case in point, Lindelof or Varane? Like, are you getting more out of the season?
Well, yeah, because sometimes Varane's, like, this weekend, just not there.
No. I mean, he's just like... And Cavani, one of the greatest strikers in the modern era. But how often do we see him?
He's been about as available as I have this year.
Exactly. I think you've been more available, to be honest with you. You've certainly been at more games than he has. I mean, it's like... That's the frustrating thing. And it worries me a little bit because I saw the rumours about Calvin Phillips. And I'm not against a player like Phillips. I know he comes from Leeds, but since when do we care about that? And then I looked and he's played 13 games this season. And I think we're not just doing another, you know, oh, hopefully he'll get better type scenario. Do you think we just need to start looking at this thing like, how often did he play? Because we've had our pants pulled down.
100%. You know, Steve Bruce failed his medical at United.
Do you know who else failed his medical as well?
Who?
He's not in Steve Bruce's class, but he did play for us, Pollard.
Really?
Do you know how he failed his medical? He told this to Macca when Macca interviewed him. Jim McGregor, you remember Jim McGregor, the old physio, felt his groin and he went, oh, that hurts. So he failed him. And then he said that he'd played three seasons where he'd missed like one game on pitches in the late 80s, which were a battlefield. And Fergie over just over out.
Well, that's what he did with Steve Bruce. Yeah. So he failed a medical, I think something to do with one of his knees, maybe. I could be wrong on that, but he failed a medical on something. And Fergie went, look at his playing history. That's he hasn't missed a game. Yeah. We're signing him.
Right.
And he went, right.
Yeah, because that's the thing. You remember Ince with the photo where all the West Ham fans wanted to kill him? Because he took a photo in a United shirt, didn't he? Put it in, one of the journalists took it ready for when he was going to sign. The deal fell through, and then they used that picture to announce the deal's fallen through in the mirror. So he signed United kit while he's still playing for West Ham. West Ham, who, you know, it's not like they need an excuse not to like someone of a certain persuasion, if you get what I'm saying. We're like, right, we're going to, you know, that's it then. That's why I used to get cuttings and bananas and all that from
fucking
it. Just like absolutely hammered. K.I. Tracy says, would we be better playing... Sorry, let me try again and get my words in the right order. Would we be playing better currently in the 4-2-2-2 after 4 months of Ragnick training and implementing, or is the squad just as incompetent? Stephen, I'll let you answer that one.
Say that again.
He said, would we be playing better currently in the 4-2-2-2 after 4 months of Ragnick training and implementing, or is the squad just as incompetent? So he's saying, should we have stuck with it, basically?
I get what he's saying. And on some aspects and some levels, yeah, there's an argument to be made there. But we've had, like, one fit-ish striker in Ronaldo. Mm. Cavani, as we've just been saying, has been non-existent. Rashford been non-existent. Alanga isn't a striker. Maybe we should have tried Jesse Lingard there. I have no idea what the fuck we kept him for because we haven't used him. I also think that maybe Ragnick either... didn't think it was right for this team or didn't think it was right for the Premier League, because even though I thought we were pressing a lot better in that, in a couple of the games we looked really good in it, but we had zero control. I don't know if you remember. Mm. So I think he adapted it to fit the squad, and you know, that's what we've seen a lot of this year is, you know, he came in and he was like, right, you fuckers are going to start pressing, and we actually have pressed significantly more, but it's still nowhere near like the levels of Liverpool and City in terms of pressing and winning the ball back high up.
Does Ten Hag like pressing?
It's just better, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. Well, at least they've had a taste of it, haven't they, really?
Well, this is it, and I think you change four of your first 11, you've changed the squad.
Yeah.
Like, you change four of the first 11 and you've got a different attitude on the squad, but you have to make sure those four players are influential and they're the talk that are going to bleed the ethos over to the rest of the players. You've still got enough young players in the squad that they can learn a new trick.
Yeah.
You know, Ronaldo was never going to press. It was never going to be something that came in his locker. But you can adapt. I don't need you. If I'm Cristiano Ronaldo and you're a centre-half, I don't need to sit 20 yards off you and then press you like a lunatic. I'll just man-mark you.
Yeah.
And guess what? You're out of the game.
Yeah.
You're not going to look up, see someone Ronaldo marking your centre-half and go, well, let me give it him, see what happens.
And if I'm not centre half, I'm fuming if someone starts giving me that football.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing?
So you can cheat. And Ronaldo, of all the people, should be allowed to cheat.
Yeah.
Because what he's going to give you if you get the ball into the 18-yard box should be a goal after time.
Yeah. No, 100%. I get that. Manny Hemanth Ravarapu. Forgive me if I butchered that one. I tried my best. When, I like the fact that they just address these to you because they know my knowledge. Steve, when we buy players, they're good, but by the time the manager gets fired, they are shit. Are we buying bad players or ruining good players?
Both.
A mixture. Because you wouldn't say, I'm trying to think who we've bought who's not worse. Well, lots of players we bought who were good. Di Maria was a good player. We got him and he was awful. Memphis was a good player. We got him and he was awful.
We're buying fish and being mad it can't climb trees.
Very good saying. I like that. I'll nick that. Yeah. No, it does seem like one of those, won't it? Because we've that when you've got to look at it, when those signings were made, and people love to do this to you or me or anyone or Macca, dig out our old videos because we've been doing this quite a while now. So we've, you know, that's a bit of a blessing and a curse because people go, oh,
well, Macca fucking deserves it with his 21 is coming stuff.
Well, that's a different story. But when you
never got me to say it.
No. Some of us were just saying 4 is coming, which was equally stupid. But like when we sign someone, like when you get a player like Radamel Falcao, I don't look at it and go, oh, Radamel Falcao's done. I'm thinking, wow, we've got one of the top strikers in the world. So I'm going to get excited if anyone, you know, asks me about it. I'm going to say, yeah, I think he's a great player. As it transpires, didn't work out. You know, the same when you look at like Memphis, one of the, you know, most exciting young talents in the league.
Jay, at the end of the day, I'm unapologetically enthusiastic about Manchester United.
Yeah, that's it.
So we sign someone, I'm going to get giddy.
Of course. And it's not like we've got, I can't think of one where you've got someone and when we've signed him, fans, pundits, most of the people have gone, that's a duffer.
Why did we Lindelof?
Right, okay. Why? Because that was quite a bold statement because I thought he did all right. I watched him, and,
well, 1v1. He's not a good defender, right. And that's been accurate.
All right, okay.
I did it with DeLow.
DeLow, right, DeLow and Lindelof. But to be fair, right, fair enough, but those aren't like the bigger signings. I know Lindelof,
no, fucking hell, you bring Varane in. Yeah. Dick is Dick Oot.
Yeah, of course. Right?
You buy Sancho, he's literally like the most productive under-21 or under-23 in Europe. He's only like Messi can fuck with his numbers.
Guy carried Dortmund to Champions League and a trophy. And how often did Dortmund win trophies? Yeah. Once every decade. Do you know what I mean?
Dick Oot.
Yeah, exactly. This is so sad. Alexa played Esposito. I'm for revamp over the new stadium because I don't trust the Glazers. Not up to tickets, 200%, because they're about as in touch with the working class as Rishi Sunak. Just on that as well. Shout out to Solo. Good to see you, bro. We're talking about protests. Obviously, been a protest down at Carrington. And I said on the news the other day, I was talking about this protest, about protests being organic. Like, you can have organised protests, ones that are advertised and everyone knows, and there's going to be one this weekend ahead of the game where I think everyone's going in 17 minutes later, a sort of 1 minute for each year of the Glazers ownership. Yeah. But also, once this starts getting a bit of momentum, you have these types of protests where a group of lads or girls or whatever will go, let's go and do something. And it's spontaneous, isn't it? And you've done that. You've been part of it, haven't you?
Yeah,
and
did a bit of flash mobbing in my day, Jay.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Did 2005, this would have been with the Love United 8 Glazer thing.
So, this is when the Glazers first came in, and there was a real
movement going on there. Both the Nike shops in town got flash mobbed. It was the funniest day of my life, mate. Really? Honestly, it was fucking top. Yeah, there was
love all that.
We did the one where is it Foot Asylum is now at the back of the Irondale? Used to be a door right there. So, we've gone in that one. So, a fucking woman got on the phone to the police straight away. And this guy's gone up to her, took the phone off her. He's put Love United 8 Glazers sticker over the mouthpiece and give it her back. And I almost fucking collapsed laughing. It was so funny. All with umbrellas and that, so no one could get CCTV.
I love that.
Went from there to the St. Anne's Square one. There was a few people just robbing. Right. Saw an opportunity and just got on the rob.
Not condoning that part of it.
I was sticking stickers inside stuff because I thought they'll see all the visible ones. Yeah. But if I put them like inside a shirt, someone's going to buy the shirt, take it. I'm like, fucking hell,
fuck it. Yeah.
So I was doing all that, me, allegedly. And
is there statute limitations for things like that?
I mean, what is it? The shop's not even there anymore.
Yeah, like, did you stick a sticker in a shop that used to exist? Yeah.
And then someone, they had a ball wall, like just. 50 balls. And someone had knocked the edge of it, so all these balls are just fucking bouncing,
man,
and someone's just fucking levering them at the door to get them out. And they had this woman that just sort of stood in the someone should have signed her. She was unreal.
Was
just
she like
boom, 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 saving them all? Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
There's only about 4 or 5 balls managed to get out of the shop. Yeah, she was fucking good.
And that's just getting together. Let's go and do this.
Don't even know where it all originated from. We met at Sinclair's.
Yeah,
may or may not be a guy called Simo. Do you know Simo?
I knew someone called Simone, the same one.
Got the same haircut as you?
Oh, no, it's not the one I'm thinking of. Right, okay.
And then give me a big fucking wedge of them stickers.
You took them stickers all over the gaff,
didn't you? May I not have put them all over an Apache helicopter in Afghanistan? I love how people are like, where were you? And like, there you dickhead. That picture's me.
But that's what I mean. It's like,
United 8 Glazer
I love that. I love
flag
that picture
in Afghanistan. Yeah. And well, just about a smiley face over it's me.
That's what I mean. Like, once people start getting a bit between the teeth, you can't stop it. You can't, like, you've got people in Afghanistan like you sticking them on patch helicopters. You've got people going into stores doing it.
Jay,
got...
I put that everywhere. Like, I can't tell you how many places in Afghanistan I put that.
I, do you know what? I love that. I love the fact there's somewhere in Afghanistan now that's got a Love United 8 glazer sticking on it. That is class. It's mad, though, because, you know, you saw it today at Carrington. I remember my mate a few months ago messaged me the street, you know, the road going into Carrington. Sent me a picture of that at, like, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I thought, what's he sending me that for, the weirdo? And then, oh, he's sending me because he's in the fucking training ground. And that's been, you know, sort of over his Insta. But he went down there in his van with his work stuff on, covered his work thing, but left it all over the side of
on
his
the van.
Yeah, I was like, bro. Syrian Baller says, Thee and Jay, hope you're both doing well. Lads, oh, good for me to get a shout out for once. I know transfer talk is usually all crap, but out of curiosity, which three or four would you be in for to compete again? Also, Steve, got any new inside news? A tease at least, haha.
Yeah, I put one on Patreon last night about a staff member United again. That, I'm going to have another quick Google to see if she's been... Oh, fuck that up. To see if that individual has been linked yet.
Oh, there you go. Hey.
A fucking woman at football? Nope. Well, not on Twitter, at least, anyway.
Right, so there's a bit of a tease on. There's a bit. He gave you an inadvertent tease there, anyway. Three or four players we need to compete.
Good ones in various positions.
That's the problem, because we haven't got enough money to do what we need to do. I think it's going to be... We're going to have to face facts. It's going to be a couple of windows, at least.
Yeah.
Because everyone wants this summer. It ain't going to be that. It's going to be one or two in the summer, two at least
I
in the summer.
I think seven or eight could leave.
Yeah.
And I think you might get... four in, right. But I would expect the likes of Garner and that to get a lot of minutes. But I think it's a good opportunity for him. It's sink or swim time, lads. Yeah. You either get it and make yourself a fucking Manchester United footballer, or you don't and you bounce.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's rough, and it's, you know, as a club, we need it to work, and it might not, but I think that'll be the hand he's dealt. No. He's not going to get 10 players, is he?
No, he's not. People are going, oh, well, we need a new right back, left back, the centre back. Two midfielders, a striker and a right winger. Well, that ain't happening, is it? Like, oh, maybe a goalkeeper. Well, that's just not happening.
No, there'll be a lot of making do.
Yeah, it's a rebuild. I mean, I hate to say it, but if you look at Klopp when he took over that first Europa League final even, and then by the time they won the Champions League, look how many players he had left. Was it two?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That's what it's going
to
take.
That's what he needs to be able to do is, and sometimes that doesn't mean £70 million on every position.
No.
That might be this guy was a free transfer, this guy was academy, this guy was a big money signing, this guy was like 30 mil. Like, it needs to be a blend.
I'll give him time, personally, but, you know, we all say we will, but when it comes to it, if we're sat in eighth this time next season, people will be questioning him. People are going, it's not worked out, get rid of him, get Conte in or get whoever. Do you know what I mean? You will.
The thing is, if
you'd
have signed Conte, right, you wouldn't have seen any sort of overhaul of the backroom staff and the management. And that, for me, is more important than who is manager for the next 9 months.
I agree. We've done all the short term.
Yeah.
We've done all the flavour of the month. You've said it many a time. You know, Jose Mourinho had the best CV he can have at his age.
Yeah. Get the structure. Get the structure right. And it almost doesn't matter.
No, I agree.
Literally not. If Pep went...
Yeah.
Sean Dyche could probably still win some pots with City.
Is Manuel Pellegrini that good a manager?
Clearly not.
Is Mancini even that great? I know he won the Euros.
Clearly not.
But they have got a structure.
He also just
in
failed
there.
To qualify for the World
Exactly, for the World Cup.
The World Cup.
They've got Macedonia, a structure in there.
To that world global footballing power of North Macedonia.
You joke. You joke. But I think, genuinely, Brendan Rodgers could take over from Pep and have success.
Jesus, yeah.
He does, because it's set up for
Pretty
you.
Pretty sure I can win the League Cup.
Yeah, honestly, you could, because you've got the players there where it's go, okay, just don't fuck it up. It's there for you. Where at United, you're coming in, you're going, just overhaul everything from the tea lady to the first team, because it all needs changing.
Yeah, like Fergie, listen, we lost to Liverpool this weekend. Yeah. You canteen girls are going to have to take some responsibility for that.
Do you know why? He's saying that, right, and you might watch and think it's that's a true story. We were chatting to Chucky, and he said that after the loss to Liverpool, he went there because he was doing his coaching badges to Carrington, and no one was about, no one on reception, no one in the car park, no one in the canteen. He's like, where the fuck is everyone? No one training, no coaches, and he can hear a distant shouting. And he said he walked down to a room, and Fergie's got all the staff in, like everyone in a room, and he's laying in the
guardsmen, canteen ladies, fuckers who mowed the grass.
Pointing, you... This is why this club's rotten to the core.
You've let your standards slip. I make brews.
Yeah.
And they're not good enough.
That was it. That was how angry he was to lose to Liverpool. And I, you know what?
But by the same rule, when we win a trophy, he brings it in and he goes, this is yours.
Yeah. And by the same, I don't want to paint a figure in a bad light here. Chucky always said he was the guy that if he saw someone in the encounter and he didn't know who they were, who's that? And he'd go and introduce himself. Hiya, I'm Fergie. Oh, hiya.
Oh, what do you do around here? Yeah. You fucking dickhead.
Oh, thanks. Well, do you know what I mean? He was all about the people, or he is all about the people, I should say, because he still is. Bill O'Reilly says, Mrs. walked past and goes, I know him. He went to my school. That's what happens when a Londoner marries a Droylsden girl. Said you were a nice kid, Steve. All right, so Bill O'Reilly is
obviously... What's your missus called?
Yeah, Bill, let us know what your missus is called.
Spill the beans on your missus.
Yeah. Kobe Rose is asking about work experience. Give us a shout. Drop us a message.
Can you tile bathrooms?
Yeah. Lewis Cave says, Jay, please can you ask Steve where he gets his hair cut?
Barbers.
The barbers.
I go to Gaffin Stanley Bridge.
It's very nice. It is very nice hair, to be fair to you. I'm not taking away. What? Just because I haven't got hair doesn't mean I can't appreciate it. Do you know what I mean? Hey, don't start taking a mick.
Five or a touch.
With these protests, right, in general, what do you want to see come from them, realistically?
If I'm being honest, I don't think it'll do anything.
Right, okay.
I still support it.
No,
I play the Euro Millions. Do I think I'm winning?
No.
No.
I'm like, you know, and we've said this a million times, and I'll say it again, you know.
But I also wouldn't want to take the pressure off them either.
No.
Here's the thing, right? To me, it almost feels like if you're not going to go as big as we did with Liverpool, and let's be honest, a 17-minute protest against Norwich is not as big as Liverpool. And that's not me trying to diminish what everyone's doing here. That's just a factual. Yep. Getting the biggest game in the English calendar called off is way more significant, newsworthy, and impactful than a load of us staying outside for 17 minutes. And I'm still going to do it.
Yeah, well done.
And I absolutely support everybody's right to protest, especially these set of fucking leeches as owners. But it feels like a de-escalation of force rather than a reapplication of force. Okay. And unless there's going to be, because let's be honest, that came out of nowhere a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
That was like meant to be a protest outside and whoop,
yeah,
you're having it. So maybe there's some other shit that I'm not aware of going off, which is highly likely. But for me, it feels like a step down from where we were. Now, the reasons behind the protest in terms of the failed promises that we got from the European Super League, well, that's all still there. That hasn't been resolved.
Yeah, I think that's one of the points that a lot of the protesters or the organisers are making is, you know, we might have this dialogue, we might have this, we might have a seat on the board, or whatever it was that's promised, you know, Joel and Avram were going to come down to, you know, chaffing and have a chat with everyone or whatever, and it's not really materialised and people are just not having it.
Yeah.
And I get that. And then people say, oh, you know, is it because we lost the game? But I have this argument with people all the time. You know, you were saying there you were steaming in shops in 2005. In 2005, United had won, you know, four of the last six titles. Do you know what I mean? In 2010, when the green and gold was popping off,
about as good as we've ever seen.
Yeah, United were in between Champions League finals and had won one the year before, or 2 years before. So let's not pretend that this is just about success on the pitch. It isn't. That can affect it because that can amplify things, but it's not just about that. Bill O'Reilly says, Mrs. is called Catherine Halliwell, kept her name when we got married. # modern woman. Catherine Halliwell, does that ring any bells to you?
It does, yeah. I can't remember from where.
So, well, apparently she went to your school. She went to a mixed school, obviously. It's not much better, isn't it?
Yeah, you don't think all those that go to all boys' schools are a bit odd?
Like, around my way, people give me grief, right, because I went to grammar. It's an 11-plus exam. I passed it. I went to the grammar school. That's why. It's not because it's a posh.
Dad went to a grammar school.
Yeah, but my dad...
You may have heard of it. It's the same one Paul Scholes went to. So I guess they're alumni, aren't they?
Which one's that?
Cardinal Langley.
Ah, right. Is that a grammar school?
Yeah.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, because my dad went to an all-boys school. Most of my mates went to Wellacre, which is an all-boys school, but it was off its head.
Well, around me, you had Audenshaw School for Boys, which was like a rugby union place. Yeah. It was really bizarre. You had Little Moss, which was just crank central.
Right.
But I think one of their most successful students got two GCSEs.
Really?
In my year. Yeah.
If you got a GCSE, the nickname...
My mate Farky, shout out Farky, genius.
Is he nicknamed the Professor?
For getting two GCSEs. Yeah. Yeah. Little Moss was fucked. I did, when I was at college, I did work experience there as a PE teacher.
Right.
Fuck, you know.
Mate, I love to see you coming into school doing work.
I couldn't be a teacher. Well, Jay, here's what I realised. I couldn't be a teacher, and I realised that at 18.
Yeah. I told you, I went to Aston on Mersey to do work placement when I was in like, my 20s. Now I'm in my 30s, I think. When I was doing reporting, I was freelance, and my lad was due. And I was like, can I make a career out of this? Is it going to pay the bills? I heard one of them adverts on the radio, getting to teaching, 20-odd grand a year, which back then was, you know, a wage. And then, you know, we pay for all your training. So I thought, I'll have a look at it. So I took the day off work and went into Aston on Mersey for the day, and then realised that, yeah, there's no chance of being a teacher. I couldn't be looking after these kids all day, they're driving mad.
5 days is enough for me.
Yeah, that's it. Just, you get the feel of it, don't you, to think, nah, it's not, that's not happening.
Not only that, I was 18, these lads were 15 and 16. And you just think, it was never a fucking good idea, was it?
No, it wasn't. What are you up to this weekend?
Going to a match.
Yeah.
Do an Easter egg hunt on Sunday with the little one.
That's time of the year again, isn't it? So yeah. Do you know what I love at Easter is when people post pictures about 80 Easter eggs when they've got like a 2-year-old. You're like, what?
Just call me out in public, Jay.
You want to know?
She's 3.
I might say that. You'll go back. This is his Insta on weekend. You'll see the same thing now. I'll get in trouble. Space Chimp says, you guys coming to Melbourne for pre-season? We might be. Watch this space.
I'm not.
For starters though, let's get it straight here. It's not because you can or you know you don't want to. It's because you're going everywhere else during this next 6 months.
There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. To be honest with you. Don't give me that. There's a little bit of that. Hey, Jesus, like. So yeah, watch this space. We'll have updates for that.
I think I'm going to the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. So you're going to.
So I'm prioritising going to the World Cup.
How long are you going out there for?
It's a month.
Is it? Is that the real one then?
Yeah.
All right, okay, fair enough.
Possibly William. Is William behind there? He's not behind there.
All right. Okay, so he's got the World Cup. When is the World Cup?
November. Fucking November, December, yeah.
A month over there, that's decent. I've done a couple of World Cups, man. I did South Africa and Brazil.
Yeah, I remember you going to Brazil.
Yeah, it was... last time I drank was on the way back. I stopped off in that one. That was the last drink I had. Was on my stop off. I've not drank since 2014, yeah, because, you know... That was the end of that, basically. You get the gist.
I've never been to a World Cup. I thought I might as well go to one. It's an absolute shit show.
There's already talking to like of them, saying, they've seen a statement, they said, like, if you come here, you just got to respect our customs and all that. And it's like, well, it's a World Cup. Like, when they're saying to people, I get respecting customs, but when you're saying to people, like, oh, you know, if you're part of the gay
community. Don't be gay.
Yeah, don't be gay. That's not respecting anyone's customs. No. That's just, you're hosting a World Cup and you're going to get people from, like,
and not
know,
only that, they've reneged. And I understand, like, whatever you want to say with it, but when they've said, you know, we will bring the world's community here and we will, you know, abide by everything FIFA stands for, which is equality for all on some levels.
Yeah.
Equality for all and a bit of corruption, right? If we're being honest with ourselves. A little bit of a dash of, a little smidge.
Just a sprinkling.
A little smidge of a backhander, right?
Yes.
You can't renege on that and say, actually, if you wear a pride flag, you're going to jail.
Sorry, I've got to admit, I think I've missed a super chat. Someone's saying, I've probably missed about five. Forgive me there. Someone's just asked, I think it was Alex Buckingham asking, how are you going to cope without rum?
What makes you think I won't have rum?
Come on. This is a good one.
Abinavirma
says, Jay, did you take over Steve's Twitter this week for all the political posts since you like to tell people you're not political? Love that big word though. You've put me in the shade this week, bro. Like,
they fucking do heading, Jay.
Was that meme? I am so very proud of you. I've just been finding myself liking everything you've posted. And I've liked all your replies to people digging you out for what you've posted as well. Because you know my thoughts on the state of this government. Ahmed Abdal Bassett says, how reliable is Andy Mitten?
Fucking pretty reliable, to be honest.
As reliable. Andy Mitten actually messaged me about a tweet I did to tell me like the facts behind my tweet. And I said I was being a bit tongue-in-cheek with it. Because, yeah, he's ultra reliable. He's as reliable as they come for me. He does his own work in every way, shape, and form. So, yeah, if he said something, I would say that was gospel.
Listen, I know he knows some stuff, and he ain't gone live on it yet, so.
DB Cooper says, Jay, I'm not calling you out or anything, but who do you prefer to co-present with? This, to me, right, everyone has a different thing, but me and Steve... When it's just me and him, I like it when it's just me and him on a Friday because it's just chill. We spent half an hour talking about Only Fools and Horses and whether Droylsden's rougher than Baghdad. It was, you know what I mean? It's one of them, innit? Like, it just feels like chill.
Might be rougher.
And I, by the way, didn't say it was, if anyone from Johnston is watching. I never said that. We just had a discussion.
Baghdad's got faster internet.
Right, well, there you go then. Swings and roundabouts. I think I've got through all the super chats. I just want to make sure I haven't missed any. Thanks to everyone who's got involved in the conversation. Make sure you are subscribing. Go and check out Steve's channel as well for all the latest. And check out his Patreon if you're not doing for that tease that he gave you a little bit of a tease for as well. Make sure you're checking out the other videos we've got. We've got the Norwich City preview up on this channel as well. Me and Gally Drinkwater back in the house. This has been The Brew with Stephen Alshon and Jay Moy. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.